And I'm going to speak on communion. And I was thinking, you know, there's two main ordinances in the church, water baptism and communion. And I would say, I don't want to dunk you under water and not go through the scriptures on what water baptism is. And I realized that, and it's my fault, you know, we've been taking communion, and what I don't want to have happen is for that to become a ritual. And, you know, we can take something that's meant to be life-giving and life-sustaining and turn it into just an empty religious form that we do. Amen. And I don't want that to happen. And so I'm going to share a couple things on it. There's some guys who have amazing teachings on it. Some guys really focus hard on it. I'm going to bring out a couple points this morning about the blood and the body. And some of it might be review for some of you. Some of you who are versed in communion, what I share, some of the things might be a little more eye-opening in some areas. And you know, some of you may not know much anything about communion. And so I recognize that even in this group here, we probably have that spectrum of where we're at in our understanding of it. I'm going to share some things on communion. We're going to take communion with the real purpose when we're done. Okay? A few main scriptures we're looking at. The first one, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 20. It's Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 20. Verse 14, it says, "When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" And I want to look at one more main passage. You're welcome to turn there if you want, or if you have a phone or Kindle, it's going to be easier. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's going to be verse 27 through 32. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32. And this is typically what I read when we take communion. But it's another when Paul addressed the Corinthian church about some practices they were doing surrounding communion that weren't appropriate. So in this, he says, this is Paul, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" If you go down to verse 29, it says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks discernment, judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many of you are sick among you, weak, and many sleep." Let me just go through a couple preliminaries. I want to hit a few points. I'm not going to speak for long, and I want to take communion. First and foremost, someone has asked me this before about the frequency of communion. First of all, it says, "As often as you do this." So I can take communion every day. And there's some guys who do it. And as I was preparing this, you know, one thing I'm actually going to do, I was at Peter's house one time, and he has these communions, like these little grape juice with a little membrane and a cracker on top, and it's very simple. Yeah. I'm actually going to buy some of those for the church and put them in the prayer room. If you come here for prayer or anything, just take communion in your own way. We do it corporately. You can also do it individually. But just a couple background things. I want to talk about the blood and then the body that was broken and share some about that. The Roman Catholic Church teaches transubstantiation, which is basically that the wine and the grape juice and the bread becomes the actual body of the Lord. Martin Luther deviated from that a little bit. I guess the Lutheran church is going to be like this today. I'm not entirely positive. But it was consubstantiation, and that means it's not the actual body and blood, but by faith it becomes that. And then after that, this is just a quick background for you. John Calvin, you're aware well of him, he taught that it was just symbols. And then there's another reformer that I tend to agree with, and he said it's more than just a symbol, but as you spiritually partake of it, it becomes life. It's as often as you do it in remembrance of me, as that says right there, but you partake of something else. Let me put it this way. I heard Bill Johnson say this before, and I think it's excellent. He says, sometimes the physical obedience brings spiritual release. Say again, physical obedience brings spiritual release. And if you look at even the ordinance of water baptism, if you go down in the water, I've been in water baptism services where just dunked them in water, they've come up speaking in tongues, they've come up with tears in their eyes. Was it an impactful thing for you last year, Brad? It's a simple act of obedience, but there's something spiritual in the nature of it. Different disciplines, you can look at fasting, for example. If you go through Scripture, look what happened with Daniel when he fasted, with Esther. Same goes for our life. It's an intensified prayer. Different elements, if you look at faith, so march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. It's a physical action. Doing it by faith, it releases something in the spirit. Amen? Are you seeing that? There's different areas. Giving, I've spoken about giving, being generous givers. When I give, the right heart and the right motive, it releases something in the spirit. It's a physical action that I take that releases something in the heavenlies. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay? That's prayer. You can do all sorts of different things with it. Worship. When you worship, it affects the atmosphere. I always go back to that verse. I love it in First Chronicles, when the people worshiped and the Lord went out and destroyed their enemies. Amen? You want your enemies destroyed? Worship the Lord. It releases something. And so physical obedience can bring spiritual release. The same is true for communion. And if all I do is say I'm going to have my bread, wash it down with a cup of grape juice, and say, Lord, I just thank you, I remember it, and you move on, that's probably all you're going to get. But there's other elements that I want to kind of hone in on a little bit. It's known as Holy Communion in 1 Corinthians 10:16. I like to look at it this way. It's a way to commune with the Lord, partaking of Him. One more thing is called the Eucharist in Luke. And let me just say this. It says when Jesus, the night before He's betrayed, He took it and what did He do? He gave thanks. Eucharist means to give thanks. So when I look at the Lord, right before He was going to the cross, right before He was about to be betrayed, what did He do? He gave thanks. Does that say something to me? I'm thankful. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, this is the will of God for you, that you're thankful in all things. I've spoken about that. Principle of the green light. The will of God, people agonize and wrestle. Sometimes it's just going with the Lord, but the Lord's heart is that the will of God, that you're thankful, that you're at peace, that you're flowing fully with Him, and that's when you're in the will of the Lord. And the will of God starts in here and works its way out. And Paul wrote to Timothy, in the last days, people would be unthankful. Are you thankful?
Yes.
When I take communion, am I thankful? It's what I said when I said this morning about worship. I'm thankful for what the Lord did for me.
Amen.
Practically speaking, I'm thankful I have a vehicle and I can come worship with the body of Christ in a nice place like this. My brother went to Africa. I wasn't planning on saying this. And he said folks would walk miles to church. Walk miles. Stay there all day. People would not have anything to give and they would still go in the offering as an act of worship. I've got nothing, but she does it. Imagine that kind of heart. You think those folks are thankful?
Yes.
It gives you pause for the cause. Lord, you blessed me so much in the spirit and in the natural. We have so many resources here as American believers. So much to be thankful for. I can be thankful for the little things, and I can be thankful for what the Lord's done for me. I want to share a few things. I'm going to go briefly through this about the blood and the body of Christ, that what was done. This was done at Passover. I'm not going to read it. If you want to turn to Exodus chapter 12, you're welcome to do so. I'm going to read a few verses. You don't have to turn there. But Holy Communion or the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it, Jesus did it at the time of Passover. And just a quick recap, all of you should know, if you remember, the Israelites were in Egypt. 10 plagues came, and what was done when the death angel went by? The Passover. There was a lamb for a house. Who was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth?
Jesus.
Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, or Paul writes it, Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. Okay? So what was done on Passover? The blood was taken. You had to apply it yourself. That's why Christianity is a personal thing. I take it and I apply the blood, and the death angel passes over. It means, hey, you're born again, you're saved. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. I've spoken about that enough. I want to focus on one quick point I felt pertinent to us. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, one of the things that was done is there was one lamb for a household. Okay? Who is our Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. In the Old Covenant, there was a lamb per household. And so what did that mean? It meant my family, our new home, so we'll say it's Old Testament, and I've got a lamb. When I put the blood over, it covers my house. Amen?
Amen.
The standard of Jesus Christ is not that just one person in your home gets saved. This person is that your whole household is saved. Amen? Your whole household. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? There's a guy who wrote a book in, I think it was in the 1800s. And he's titled Christus Victor, and it speaks about the blood of Jesus triumphs over everything. Triumphs over sickness, death, disease, the devil, everything that you can imagine in your life. It's victorious. And there's a story I heard recently. Someone was taking communion. They had a son, a wayward son, and doing all sorts of horrible things, praying, seeking the Lord for a long time. And she was in a church service, and they were taking communion. Blood, take the blood. And she took it. She started pleading the blood over her son, over the issues. Lord, your blood is more powerful than what he's doing.
Amen.
The standard is the blood, not the actions of someone. Lord, there's a lamb for a household. Your standard is not just that I'm saved, but that my household is saved.
Amen.
And I can speak and I can decree it. I can declare it over my home. The blood is stronger than sin, doubt, and unbelief.
Amen.
When I go to my home, I say, the lamb for a household. My children, I come in there, sometimes I pray, my children will be saved. I say, Lord, give them a heart to know you. It's a good prayer to have. I'm praying for Owen recently. One of the joys, I'm just sharing my life with you. One of the joys happened this week. I had something I usually do around 7 o'clock every night, and Bowen came to me, and I was talking with Anna about the Bible, and she has a princess Bible, and I said, you should talk about this, we're going to read Esther, and Owen said, you should get her princess Bible, look at Princess Esther. Long story short, me and Owen went about 15 minutes talking about God. I've been praying for him, Lord, he's going to have a heart to know you. The blood of Jesus, he's only 6 years old. The lamb for a house, the blood of Jesus covers my house. I can speak and I can decree and I can declare and say, Lord, my son is going to know you. My son's going to have a heart to know you because the standard of God is for whole households to be saved.
Amen.
Not one here, not one there. Just a challenge to you. Take communion. Lord, what did your blood do? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. Blood was a covenant thing. I shared about this in the old covenant times. When they would take two people come together in covenant, we would slaughter a lamb and eat it. It would be like a blood covenant. Put it, we're in covenant together. It's a blood covenant. The Lord's in covenant with us. And my salvation extends to my family. I don't have to fear what they're doing. I fear him more, and I look at what the blood's done. Okay? I want to look at something else with this, because we've done that quite a bit. But there's a lamb for a household. But he also says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Okay? It also says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Oftentimes, that's taught from the perspective, and I'm going to mention it briefly, discerning the Lord's body, discerning, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I think there's another element to it that we should look at as well. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you. So when Jesus went to the cross and he died for us, it says, as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What happened at the Lord's death? His blood was shed and his body was beaten, right? Why was his body beaten? If you go through and you look at Old Testament types and pictures, Isaac or any of the lambs, you know what they did when a lamb was for a house? You know what they did not do to the lamb? They didn't tie it up by its feet and use it as a punching bag. They didn't put a crown of thorns around it. They didn't lash it. So why was that done to Jesus? Because if the shedding of blood, forgiveness is given from shedding of blood, we have that, right? But Jesus' body was broken. Why was it broken? Isaiah 53, by his stripes, or by his wounds, we are
healed.
Okay? Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Okay? Going back to the Passover, they ate. If you read Exodus 12, the Israelites, after they slaughtered the lamb, they ate the lamb. They said, eat the whole thing, guts, feathers, and all. Cook it up. I told a story. I used to be so nervous. I had relatives in the hills of Virginia, and they were good hills people. And I was so afraid, because if you would go over there, my Uncle J.D. would say, you better eat all that chicken on that bone, boy. You better not leave me there. I didn't want to. And so they knew how to do it. That's what they would do. They ate the whole thing. What did Jesus say in John 6? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. Why was his body broken? It was broken for our healing.
Amen.
And so oftentimes in salvation, we think, hey, I'm forgiven, this, I'm that. But the Lord desires your whole man to be saved. Even the whole word salvation, sozo, means a whole deliverance, spirit, soul, and body. So the forgiveness of sins, man, I better have that if I'm going to be connected with Jesus, if I'm going to be in heaven. But the Lord desires also that we understand and that we recognize, as I take communion, I remember his shed blood, but I also remember his body was broken, right? It says, by his stripes we're healed. I've heard this, I don't know, I think it's true, but there's 39 stripes. And I've heard that scientifically there's 39 root core sicknesses that people have. So if you look at that, he took a stripe for each one of our sicknesses that we could ever have. And he took it to the cross, right? By his stripes we are healed. What's included in our new covenant package with Jesus? Is forgiveness of sins? Is my body? Yes. If I look at it, he went to the cross, his blood was shed, and his body was beaten. The whole package of the deal. I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm set free, but I also have every right to enter into that new... Remember I spoke some time ago, it's like when you're at work, it's called a benefits package, and I have the job, man, good, I'm going to be working for this company, but what are the benefits? What's the health insurance? What's the 401k like? And you can look at this in the new covenant. There could be forgiveness of sins in the old covenant, but the healing wasn't necessarily included in that. Let me say this, as the Egyptians, or as the Israelites ate the lamb, in Psalms 105:37, it says there was not one feeble person among them when they left the land. They were slaves. You think slaves would be feeble people?
No.
Before they ate the lamb, they were. As they partook of him, there was not one feeble among them. Okay? So partaking of all of it. There's a story, R.W. Shambach, I don't know if you've heard of him, he's an old minister, and See Kevin nodding his head. Minister with A.A. Allen back in the day. I think he's gone on to be with the Lord. And he was sharing a story. He said, I had a friend in ministry who did not really believe in healing per se. Or he said, you know, the Lord might heal, but, you know, we don't really know. And he said, the guy went up and asked him one day, he said, if the Lord purchased healing, why are so many sick folks running around? And Shambach said, I answered him and said, if the Lord purchased forgiveness of sin, why are there so many sinners running around? Oh, that makes sense. Everyone, you either have not heard the gospel, you've heard it and you've rejected it. And he said, perhaps people, while there's so many sick people running around, maybe we haven't, and I include myself in this too, we haven't fully appropriated what the Lord has really done for us. Amen? There's a guy, he speaks a lot about communion, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he believed just, I mean, he didn't believe in transubstantiation, but as literally as he ate the body of Christ, he was partaking of life in the Spirit. There's people, and I like this, we use bread. Some people use crackers, because crackers sound of breaking. His body was broken for us, right? And it brings to remembrance. I proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The word proclaim merely means I preach, I declare to every one of you, to the Lord, to every demon in hell, that this is what the Lord accomplished for me at his death, burial, and resurrection. His blood was shed, forgiveness of sins. And something else, you can look at this too. If you notice in the new covenant, we eat the bread first, then we drink. Take this, the bread, and take the wine or the grape juice. It's not just to wash it down. Jesus was beaten and whipped and scourged before he was ever pierced with the blood and water came out, right? So I can say this, man, his healing was purchased. For me, his body was broken before his side was even speared for forgiveness of sins. Amen?
Amen.
You understand this? It's a package deal. And if I take communion with that understanding, you know what, Lord? I recognize that your blood was shed for me for my forgiveness. I can be made right with God. So it's done at Passover. There was a lamb for a household. Shedding of blood, your standards, that whole households would be saved. Lord, your standard is also that your body was broken for me. By your stripes, I was healed. By your wounds, I was healed. The 39 stripes, the 39 root causes of disease has no place in me. Whether it's in my body, in my mind, whatever affliction I have, as I receive Christ as Savior and Lord, as I partake of what he did, it's not just, hey man, I got the job, but I also have a benefits package that comes with it. The healing can be, you know, my great vacation time I get when I go to work. Amen?
Amen.
It's a package deal. As I study this and I read it, I said, Lord, I don't want to partake of your body in an unworthy manner. It says, for this reason, many are sick, feeble, and weak among you. Many sleep. Me, this is personally me. Check it out. Maybe it's because, hey, they weren't appropriating and recognizing what Jesus did for our physical bodies. I can be like that one guy, hey, just doesn't matter, I don't believe it. But when I say, this is what happened for my whole man, amen? For my spirit and also for my body, my soul, for my mind. Thessalonians says that your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified, that their whole being would come into fruitfulness and fruition. So let me share one more thing about it, then we're going to take communion. Let me share one more story before I do this. You've heard the Emancipation Proclamation?
Yes. Please.
And I heard a story recently by, and for example, I thought it was interesting, just a quick sidetrack. The wedding yesterday, my three-year-old was interested in it, and so I watched with her. But one of the fascinating things was the girl who got married was American to the English monarch, and her mother is African American from a descendants of slaves. Isn't that a powerful story? Someone coming from, it's a picture of us with Christ. We were slaves and now we're with the King. And so the Emancipation Proclamation, I've heard this as a story. I don't know if it's entirely true, but that's when Abe Lincoln signed the slaves are free. But if you were a slave owner in the South, my slave couldn't read. It's a benefit to me. I don't know the Lord, so what did they do? They never shared with them the good news of what happened. And there's a story of a guy who, for 3 years after the fact, And one of his slaves finally got wind that, hey, it was signed by our government, we're free. And he went to walk out, and the slave owner said, where do you think you're going? I had a gun. He said, man, I'm free. And he had the piece of paper. And so sometimes in our life, too, it's important that I understand, that I read the Word of God. I take seriously, Lord, communion is important for a reason. Lord, your Word is important for a reason. I can recognize, Lord, hey, I've got it signed right here, Emancipation Proclamation, I'm free. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many things we miss out on, myself included, because I haven't really dug in here like I should. Something I'm dealing with, something I'm wrestling with, something I'm fighting through, and the Lord says, I've set you free from that. Amen? It's a powerful story. And finality, I'm going to be brief with this part. It says, Jesus said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He didn't just eat it alone, did he?
No.
Okay? There's a really, in our culture, we're very individualistic, and that's creeped into the church in a lot of ways. But the church, you know, if you look at even gangs, that was a part of the news this week. A lot of times these young guys who join the gangs, they grow up in fatherless homes. They don't have anyone who cares for them, so they join a gang to be part of a family. Okay? If you look at the mafia, it actually means my house. People are constantly looking for family, and church is family. That's what it's intended. It's what it's designed to be. One of the things that happened in the context of this passage that Paul wrote in Corinthians is back then they had what was called a love feast, and he ties this in with communion. And so the poor and the rich would come together. It's kind of like a potluck that we have today. Everyone comes in and, hey, can we bring it into your house? Yes, you can. It's a potluck. Everyone chips in. What the hell was happening in that church back then? It was very, very rich and very poor. And so the very rich would started coming in, and they would get in little groups and eat together. And the poor could be the only good meal for the week, and they would have nothing. And Paul was rightly rebuking them. But it's also the case in the Lord's Supper, as we partake and as we eat, I recognize something. I have the same standing. We all have the same standing before God. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're all redeemed. I found an interesting quote. This was a historian about the early Christian church. And he says, within their own limits, they had solved almost, by the way, of every social problem which baffled Rome and baffles Europe still. They lifted women to their rightful place, restored the dignity of labor, abolished beggary, and drowned out the sting of slavery. The secret of the revolution is that the selfishness of race and class were forgotten in the supper of the Lord, and a new basis for society was found in love, and love of the visible image of God and man for whom Christ died. And so our unity is not found in other things. Our unity is found in Christ Jesus. And that He is our Father. He's all of our Father. There's a lady back home in my home church, and she's an ordained minister, woman of God. She always prays for me, always sends me encouragements. We're very different. She's an African woman who's probably over twice my age. And she recently sent me something. We're different types of folks. And I wrote her back and I said, I'm honored to call you my sister in Christ. And in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a society that seeks to divide everyone into this group and that group and that group. The church is the one place we're here under the headship of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm connected with Christ, as long as we have the same Father, He's our Lord, that means we're brothers and we're sisters. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what race you are, how rich or how poor you are, okay? You're my brother, you're my sister because of Christ, and it's important that we recognize that. As we take communion, it's a lot easier to forgive my brother and my sister, to have grace upon someone else, because I recognize we're around the table of the Lord together, right? He's the center. We're all partaking of Him. I'm taking in the juice. Lord, I'm accepting your blood and what you did for me. James might need it because of something nasty he did to me, but guess what? I need it just as much, because without Jesus, we're in the same place. You know, he might have an ailment in his body. I have one. Why aren't you? Well, you know what? We're both partaking of the same thing. There's a unity that comes through Christ. Amen? And so we're going to take communion this morning, and I want to do it, and I was kind of praying about how to do it. What I'm going to do is this. It says here, do this in remembrance of me. Throughout the times of our life, we can tend to forget things. This is called a sacrament because it brings to memory, it brings to mind what Jesus did for us. Amen. Okay? James has some Legos he gave to Owen, and some of those I used to have when I was a little boy. And I look at those Legos, and it takes me back. Oh, I remember having that. Owen, I have that. Throughout life, we can tend to forget. We get in the rut. We get in the mire of things to the point where this even becomes a ritual. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm taking of this, and it takes you back to the cross. Jesus, your blood was shed for me. I received that. Lord, your blood was shed. I want to encourage you. We're going to pass it out. And Peter, if you want to just strum while we play. I'm going to do it slower this time. I'm going to give like a minute between each one as we partake of the bread. I want to encourage you. You can do a public proclamation or a confession if you want to. If you want to do it silently, I want to encourage you. If it's, hey, there's a lamb was shed for our house. As I take the elements, as I take the grape juice, the blood. Lord, your standard is that my whole household is saved. With forgiveness, I'm a new creature. Lord, as I partake of the body, do you guys want to pass it out? Lloyd and Michael, you guys want to pass out, or Kevin, pass out the elements for us? Lord, as I partake of the elements, as I partake of the bread, Lord, your body was broken for me. I'm carrying something. I carry a nagging thing right now in my body. That's where I am for the time being. But Lord, your provision, what you did on the cross for me, your broken body covers that. And I take it. I just want to encourage you as we take it, meditate. Be contemplative. Lord, go to God with something, whether you proclaim it publicly, whether you do it silently. But take it as a physical act that you do that releases something into the Spirit. Amen.